people are honoring right here, are they?
Yeah.
Which represents
the one.
Yeah.
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 That's another issue. Yeah. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to the regular meeting of the Taney County Planning Commission. This is Monday, December 20th. Mr. Coxey, if you'll please call roll to establish a quorum.
Mark Blackwell.
Here.
Rick Caudell. Randall Cummings.
Here.
Gray Edwards.
Here.
Sarah Kleinfelder.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Frank Preston. Susan Martin.
Here.
And Carl Pride. Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum.
If you'll explain the procedures for tonight's meeting, please, Mr. Coxey.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting procedures. The Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting is held for final approval on each Division III application presented at the previous Monday's public hearing and to hear new concept requests to be presented at next month's public hearing. Final votes will be heard first. Each project will be reviewed and decided upon by the Commission. There are no sign-up sheets at this meeting as no additional public comments are taken unless expressly requested by the Chairman or the Commission. If you do not accept the decision of this commission, you may appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Applications for the Board of Adjustment are available in the Planning Office. Concepts will be heard following the final votes. If you are presenting a concept at this meeting, your name or the name of your project will be called. At that time, please come forward and address the commission. Your proposal will be heard and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting with the exception of the applicant or persons with information requested by the commission. You may leave after your case is heard.
Okay. First of all, is review and passage of approval for the minutes of November 2010, assuming that you've all received copies of those. Any corrections? Is there a motion to accept the minutes of November 2010?
I'll make a
motion. Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes as presented. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Let's move on to the first final vote for tonight, and that is the Kanakuk Cemetery. And the representative is here.
As you know, this was something came before us a while back. Was approved to split the property off. Found out there was a little more involved with the procedure. And so they have come back before us. I told you I would bring the film in for you this week. And I do have that so that you can see it. So if you would like to take a look at that real quick, again, this is a property that's pretty much 100% surrounded by Kanakuk property. There are currently four different people buried in there, plus a few animals and everything like that. But this is just right down from where their corporate offices are. If you know where those are located, let's go ahead and watch, man. This is Lakeshore Drive, and we'll be standing on the property where the cemetery is. This is across the street, where the camp and everything like that. As we come back around into the property, I think I'm going to try and, yeah, that's K1 there. And as we come back around, when you hit the edge of the property here, that's about where this cemetery would start, right in here. And that's where we're going to take you up and walk around just a little bit. So give me a second here.
It's limited to how much acreage?
This is less than an acre altogether. I think it is.
It says 0.339.
Yeah.
And the motion would be limiting it to a family cemetery as
right.
Well, so it's not like it's a commercial
cemetery. Right. No, it is. It has been presented as a private family cemetery.
So are there markers on the cemetery at home?
There are some out there, and we'll show you. This is a cross stuff there. As we come around, I'll try and show you the different places here, if I can. There is one right there that is Debbie Joe's mom.
Okay.
And then right in this area here is Uncle Bob. Right over here. I'm going to try. And then as you come around here and you go back into this area here, I think that's Uncle Bob's there. I'm not sure. And then back in here we have Spike and partner, which was Darnell's. That Spike's there, and then Darnell's, and then all this area over here is open. So that's what it is.
Okay, I have a question again about the procedure, because the family then declares this a family cemetery, with restrictions that they want to have placed on it. And then explain again the county's responsibility to this.
According to the state statute, this land is placed in trust, and it is held in perpetuity as a private family cemetery. It's open only to family members. And the state statute kind of gets into that a little bit, but it's pretty close family members, if I remember correctly. Fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, things, that kind of thing like that. And then they set a size on it. It can't be over, I think, an acre, acre and a half. I can't remember exactly the total size of it. But when they set this up as a trust and in perpetuity, it is deeded to the county by quitclaim deed. The county then accepts that in and is basically responsible if there's going to be any upkeep. Now, the county doesn't upkeep these as far as they don't go in and mow the grass or anything like that. Occasionally, if needed, they do, as Mr. Pendleton said, they do run a grader over the road or something like that when it's used. But it is very restricted on who can use the cemetery. It is not open for public.
Okay, but I'm concerned about the legal transfer of title, I guess, kind of.
Well, that's an issue with the Taney County Commission, and the Taney County Commission still has to approve any transfer. They have to decide, okay, we want to do this. The reason it's before planning and zoning is there are two ways, there are two preconditions to getting before the county commission. One is that they go out, it's an either or. One, that they go out and get a certain number of signatures, which is a lot of signatures from the township, which is extremely difficult to do. And the other way is if they're in a first-class county, they get a valid zoning order, zoning that for cemetery purposes. So the easier of the two would be coming to you to get the order. So that's what they want from you, so that they can go to the county commission and say, please, county commission, we want to do this. Is this something that you're willing to do?
Okay. But one of my questions is, in the decision of record from this office, do we need to put any statement in there about that additional responsibility of taking it on to the county commission?
We can. It should go to them anyway.
Then doesn't all of our decisions go to them?
They're supposed to, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't hurt to put it in the decision of record.
Right, and we can add that.
I mean,
that
I read through the decision of record, and there's nothing in the decision
right.
of record
because
that
all,
differentiates this as a cemetery.
All land use changes are supposed to be approved by the county commission.
And I would limit this to a family cemetery with your order.
Right, yeah. So, but they will need to see that before them, and we'll probably try to do that as early as this week if we can. I don't know if we can get on the agenda or not, but...
It was limited to a family cemetery, wasn't it, on the...
That's how it was presented to you, a family cemetery.
Okay, has it? Okay. All right.
Okay. Any other questions or discussion or issues that you want to raise? Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve it as presented with the addition of ensuring that this does go before the county commission to make whatever decisions they need to make.
I'll second.
And you're comfortable with the statement in here that the request is actually to subdivide a parcel of land as private family cemetery.
And if you remember correctly, we did approve that subdivision a while back, and that plat has been already signed. But and this got held up because when it went to the recorder said, "Wait, we need to do a few more steps here."
Okay. Ready for the question? All those in favor of making approval of this request, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. I'm abstaining.
And one abstention. Okay. So,
Mr. Jeske, if you'll call me tomorrow, we'll see if we can get this in front of the county commission as quick as we can. Just need to see what's good for you guys.
So moving on then, there are three code amendments that we're going to act on tonight, and the purpose of acting on these is to move these forward to the county commission. Is that correct, Eddie?
That is correct, ma'am.
Okay.
We will be making recommendations to them. If you have any changes that you would like to see on any of these items, again, I'm going to suggest first that we go to the permit extension. It's pretty cut and dry and everything like that, but let's see if y'all have any way y'all want to change that or anything like that, and then we can move into the next one.
Mm-hmm. And basically what you're saying about the permit extension is that once we have granted a land use to a piece of land, it stays that way.
It should stay that way unless there's something extraordinary that has happened. So. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sean, you can flip that to the opposition on the fan, that might.
Any discussions or questions about the permit?
We've gone over this language several times, trying to, even with the county attorney, and I think we're, as far as our recommendation to you on this language, we were pretty happy with it. But if you have something that is causing you an issue or anything you would like to discuss it, we'd be glad to do that.
Anybody have any questions? Okay, this is specifically on the permit extension process. And the purpose of this is going to alleviate people forgetting.
Permit renewals for actual land use change that, again, probably should run in perpetuity unless something else has been requested for that property.
I have just got one question.
Okay.
Because I know we discussed it last week about significant changes. Mm-hmm. And I know this may be nitpicking, and I really don't mean to. Does significant changes need to be defined?
It is one of those things that could be iffy, I suppose. That's something that would be left up either to this board or to my office to say this is a pretty big change from or deviation from what we've done.
The question is, how would you define
right.
it? I mean, there's so many different projects. One project, if they have their building on one side that's causing a problem with some lake, so they move it to the other side, moving it back would be a significant change. Another project, if they did something else that's different, it would be a significant change. I don't think, given our system of planning and zoning, that we have this performance-based planning and zoning, and we evaluate density and traffic thoroughfares and all that sort of thing, that there's any conducive way conducive to really define significant that'll apply to every case. That's the problem.
Well, and we usually know why something was done in a certain way, why this was placed here, why this was placed there, and if a change comes about that would move that to,
significant changes could be left up to the discretion of your office, is that correct? And then you would bring, if you felt like
it's iffy for me, I'm going to bring it to you guys.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. If you felt like it was warranted, then you would bring it before.
Normally what we just say is, I'm really not sure about this. Let me ask my board if they want to rehear this or if we think we're okay.
I'm good with this.
Yeah.
My only question, again, is we're leaving significant change up to the discretion of the landowner.
No.
Why not?
Because the landowner wants to do what he wants to do. Significant change is going to be left up. Do we consider it to be significant change? And if we do, we're going to want to rehear.
I understand what you're saying. You're saying, well, they say there's no significant change. They're approved. They start to build. Then all of a sudden, we've got planning and zoning behind the game saying, wait a minute, there's a stop work order because you're doing something significantly different.
Right. No, they build to the approval for that project. If a different owner has bought it and comes in and says, well, I'm going to do this instead, that's when we'd say, we're going to review this real quick. Yeah, it looks like a good fit. We'll go ahead with your plan.
I guess my question again, Eddie, is, if the understanding is that once something is zoned commercial, and unless there is significant change, but that means you have awareness that there is significant change.
Well, they're going to want a permit to build.
They have to get a permit.
And so when they come in for the permit to build, we're going to find out what's going on, whether it's the same owner or not. Because normally when people come in to buy a piece of property like that, just like what we're going to review here in just a little bit, we'll say some of this works and some of it doesn't. Or, what are you planning on doing out there? Here's what I'm going to do. Yeah, that fits fine. Or I'm going to do exactly what he was going to do before. That's fine. But they've got to come and get a permit to build. And at that particular time, that's when we review the project. And we say, this is a little bit different. I think I better ask the board if they want
to. Well, and I'm just saying again, what if they don't come in to get a permit because they're commercial?
You still have to get a building permit. You still have to get a building permit.
They still have to have a permit.
You don't necessarily have to get it rezoned, but you have to have a building permit.
Well,
to construct.
I hope so.
Well, you're supposed to.
Okay. Okay.
So, I mean, if they don't get a building permit right now, the way everything stands, they're not in compliance with us, and we would have to go out and say, whoa.
Whoa. Okay.
And, you know.
Okay, dealing with the permit extension. Anybody want to make a motion to approve this as it is written?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor of accepting the wording for permit extension as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Let's move then to, do you want us to do division of land, or do you want us to go to duplexes?
We can go either place you'd like to go. Duplexes has three different options on there. It's going to take a little bit of talking, or maybe, you know, maybe you're not in a situation where you're ready to do anything with duplexes. You know, maybe there's some issues there that, I don't know. I'm just, so whichever way you'd like to go.
The fire department?
I did discuss with the fire department, and they have assured me they will not. They will not look into anything that's considered residential. And she quoted to me, until we reach a fourplex now.
Say that again, please.
Fourplex or more, they will not look into it unless it's commercial. Now, they said if you make it nightly rental, we'll look into it, which is commercial. Or if you make condominium solid ownership, we'll look into it.
And the rationale for that is?
They consider that to be commercial property, and commercial property always gets inspected by the fire district. Residential property does not. And they consider up to a fourplex single-family residential, and they will not look at it.
But if it's a condo, they go ahead and do it when
because it's commercial.
It's not commercial.
Well, the original development's commercial. They have some rules and regulations because the person building those is building them to sell them, much like a home builder. But they consider that because it's being held in common and everything like that. They can. I'm just telling you what they told me. They said we consider that commercial just like we would a nightly rental, and that's why we look into it, and that's why they have their own rules and regulations for that.
Questions?
I assume we're talking about duplexes.
We're talking about duplexes. We oozed into duplexes.
We gave you a couple different items on duplexes. I will tell you this. The definition I settled on was the second page. It basically says two-family residential use in which the dwelling units share a common wall, including the wall of an attached garage or porch, and in which each dwelling unit has living space on the ground floor and a separate ground floor entrance.
Okay. In the case of a title, let's assume that there is dual ownership. You'll set two owners.
That's the intention with a duplex.
Of a duplex. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so it's not just two families living in the two units owned by one of the...
It could be.
Okay.
But it doesn't have to be.
But my question has to do, what does the title look like as far as the land is concerned?
We will split that land, and they will have a lot. They will have their own lot number, just like any other home or anything like that. Now, again, I don't know if you are comfortable with that or not, or anything like, I mean, if there's issues that just have, you know, that we can't overcome, then so be it. But, you know, there's no use hammering out a whole lot of stuff if you know there's some stopping points for you, I guess is what I'm saying. So,
Mr. Wolf, do you want to come forward, or are you just adding information?
I'm just going to tell you what we see in a lot of other places with that is in other places where we work, they make it mandatory that there's a party wall agreement between the parties, so that way if there's any maintenance of that wall or anything that's in common, that's taken care of, and those are filed with the plat, so they're of record. And that way it stops a lot of the bickering between different parties, you know, if they don't get along with who is responsible for what. And sometimes we'll actually put it on the plat itself to make everybody aware of it.
It's also protecting the individuals. There should be a party wall agreement.
And this is something that's really needed in the county. It really is, and it's done everywhere else.
What about the one-hour firewall? Is that included, Eddie?
That line has been put in there. You asked for a recommendation from council last week, if you remember what he said.
It's a building code.
He believes it's a building code.
And I've researched it, I still believe it's a building code.
That being the case, even if we send that on, it will not.
Well, even if it is a form of building code. I don't think it's necessary.
And that's what I'm saying.
I think we're making a mistake of not looking at the safety of the two units if we don't put something like that in there. I would prefer a block wall that went through the roof, but I guess that's extreme, and we can't get that. But I am not for approving, and I think we need duplexes. I'm for approving something on duplexes.
Well,
but I think we have an obligation to look at it from a safety standpoint, and I think we need at least that 1 hour firewall.
Which brings me back to my point. If the majority of you feel that way, and we don't, and you don't feel like this one suggestion here is going to work based on what council has said, there's no use hashing out the other things. I guess is what I'm trying to say. There's no use hashing out lot sizes. There's no use doing a lot of things. If that's going to be a stumbling point for you guys and we can't get a majority tonight, there's no use hashing anymore.
Well, I know in my situation, that's where I'm at, about the safety part of it. And
do you understand what I'm saying?
Considering this might be my last meeting that we're at, and, I'd rather make a motion that we just...
Well, it goes from here to the commissioners, doesn't it?
Because we can't really...
It does. I mean, you would send them a recommendation. We would need to know lot sizes, frontage, you know, how we're going to deal with that, a few things like that. We would need to know if you want to try and include that statement in there or on the advice of counsel, you know that you can't do that or you shouldn't be able to do that or whatever the case might be.
Well, the only reason we can't is a question where the commissioner is going to prove it or not, isn't it?
I don't know that that would be the last stop. I really don't know what to tell you, gentlemen. I can argue this one both ways. I can see what the one commissioner says, and I can sympathize with that because it's something I want. I can also see it causing a big uproar in the county by us if it's viewed, as Mr. Paulson sees it, as us trying to force building codes in the county.
Well, I don't think it's trying to force building codes in the county. I just think that a requirement that a wall be made out of a certain thing in a building is telling you there is a minimum code that you have to meet for those types of walls, which is, in fact, a building code. I think it's a great idea if you're going to have a duplex to have one of those walls. I wish we could require it. I don't believe we can without a building without the ability to do a building code. But that said, I mean, I agree that we need those walls.
Let me ask you, if somebody's building, and I know this is residential, but aren't there certain requirements if somebody's building an office building the impression I'm under right now is if somebody wants to build a house in the county, they can do anything they want to. There's absolutely no code. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, other than the fire codes and height restrictions. And we can do that specifically by planning and zoning. It gives us the right to limit the size and height of buildings. However, absent that and the setbacks, we do not regulate anything having to do with how it's built, you know, what kind of materials are used in the construction, and that sort of thing. That's a building code, and that has to be passed. And first, it has to be voted on by all the people, majority of all the people in the unincorporated area of the county in order to pass. However, there are fire codes, and to the extent that any fire codes apply to residential, which I don't think they really do too much, absent any fire codes, I really don't see any regulations at all other than state statute. On commercial buildings, it's my understanding of state statute that they have to have a licensed professional design their building for them. But that's a state statute, and that's not our situation.
But this is also new ground. Now, in condos, is there a firewall required between each condo?
Condos are considered by the fire district commercial, and they do inspect those, yes, sir.
They inspect them and require them, but that's a fire code, and right. We don't do that, and we cannot do that. We don't have the ability to do that unless the county commission were to pass
building codes, and they can't pass building codes unless it's approved by the voters.
So, I mean, if there's a wall, say, ooh, the middle wall is going to be over 3 feet high, it has to be a firewall. Does that not, can you not scoot that in with the height or something be creative? I just think it's
I don't think we can. That's why I presented to you also the possibility of planned urban development along with the duplexes there, where we go into there. And I don't even know if this is legal. But similar to what we did with our height ordinance, we'd have the developer come in to us and say, I want to do this. I want to build in this area here. I want to do some things a little bit different to the code. Here's what I propose. We review that. We tell them our concerns as far as if they want to build duplexes. They tell us how they're going to deal with that. We approve their plan, basically separate from the code book, and they build exactly to that plan.
I mean, it boils down to a matter of safety. If a builder comes in and builds a duplex and there's not a firewall between it and it burns down, then they could turn around and sue him because he didn't take proper, the owners could, you know, it's going to open a can of worms unless somebody takes a basic step to ensure safety of the buyers.
I live in the unincorporated area of the county, and I was among the 30% that voted the other way. However, you know, it is. We can't change the situation.
That vote was how long ago?
It was within the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's been more than 5 years because it was before.
It's been that long ago?
It's been before I started to work for the county.
No. Sure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's been 5 years.
It was before I started to work for the county, and I'm 5 years in January. Yes, sir.
Doesn't seem possible.
Yes.
Time flies.
They were already talking about it when I got here. Now, Mr. Wolf has raised a couple of questions, too. He said, what are we going to do with existing? And we may have to put some kind of wording in there for that or something like that. But and I suppose, gentlemen, we don't.
What about the ladies?
And ladies. I'm looking at it as a generic. Yeah, I'm good.
I suppose, folks, that if we need some more time to dwell on this, that we can do that.
I don't see how that's going to be helpful.
Well, and but that's what I'm saying. If we've got some issues that we don't think we can overcome, then that's the case. Mr. Wolf, did you have anything else that you wanted to add or anything like that?
I don't know. Is planning and zoning's responsibility to worry about safety?
It is, according to the ordinance that we have that sets forth, you know, there's about five different things in there that whatever they do is supposed to be done, keeping in mind property values, safety, I can't remember, but there's several things in the front of our code book.
You know, you can't, there's no building code.
Right.
I mean, you know, so you kind of call it
both ways, really. Could it be put in for the property values?
Do what else?
Could it be put in that the firewall be put in for property value to make?
I think you could probably do, if you had a project come through that was had duplexes in it, that you could require on any new ones.
Yes, that, what I mean on any new
have a fire rated wall of 1 hour between all the units, but
how is that not a building code?
Well, how's height restrictions?
All kinds of restrictions in your decision to raise it.
How's height restrictions not a form of a building code?
Well, because you're not telling them how to build, you're just saying you can't go over this height.
That was one of my questions.
You don't have anything to do with the construction of it. We're just not going to.
But we still put a restriction on it.
Sure, it's a restriction.
But we're specifically allowed to do it by the statute.
Yeah, that is correct.
One hour rated firewall in there that we could deviate.
Let me read to you real quick, if you don't mind, real quick. These codes are designed to manage the growth and development of Taney County so as to achieve the objectives authorized by law, those being to conserve the natural resources of the county, to ensure efficient expenditure of its public funds, and to promote the health, safety, convenience, prosperity, and general welfare of its inhabitants. And that's Missouri State Statute 64815. To provide for the proper location and size of streets, building lines, open spaces, safety, recreation, and for the avoidance of congestion, including minimum width and area of lots and subdivision, 64825. And to conserve and protect property and building values, to secure the most economical use of the land and to facilitate the adequate provision of public improvements, 64850.
That would fit under.
Okay. Why can't we put it under a 1 hour rated firewall under that provision?
The deal is, I understand what you're trying to say. For the safety, I want to stick this firewall in there. What we're telling you is you have a choice to either permit it or not permit it based on safety, but you don't have the right to impose a building code under that.
Yeah, I mean, if you can say this type of firewall, how about this type of electrical conduit, how about this type of, you know, you name it.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is you have the right to say, because we have issues, we're not going to permit this because of safety, or yes, we are going to permit this because there's no safety issue. And that's where safety would come in for you.
We've always looked at safety here since I've
sure.
been on it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying we
now,
have.
Most of the time it's in what dollars, the entranceway or roadway or something.
No rain. We could put it in there with that.
I think if we require any kind of wall.
What would it say?
Firewall.
Firewall. It's not specific, and it's not a requirement of any type of materials. I'm just asking.
That might be fine, but
it's pointless. It's not pointless.
Let me ask a question here real quick. Bob, and I hate to put you on the spot like this.
Okay, but Jerry, it's more pointless to have nothing, because you're not getting it. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to get it.
Well, yeah.
If we can't put it in there.
You can put it in there, but then...
Because he ain't for it. I don't know about everyone else. He ain't for it, and I ain't for it.
Yeah,
so
you can't put it in there because you can put it in there, but you can't enforce it because it doesn't mean it.
We can't enforce it anyway. We have building codes.
That's your right.
So,
Bob, let's say we adopted this like it's set.
Getting the point across to the people that are asking.
And we brought that to you, and it goes before the commission. What would be your advice to the commission? If you'd rather not say, you've got to think about it.
Yeah.
Well, that's between me and the commission.
Yes, it is.
But I would tell them what I'm telling you. It's a building code. Of course, one of the commissioners is going to disagree with me and say that you could say that it's a fence separating two pieces of property. But I don't think you can tell somebody that they have to put up a fence that has certain materials in it. You can talk about trees or fence or...
So it just boils down to what you want to try. You know, and that's up to you guys.
Okay, I have a question, and that is, what are we precisely sending forward? Are we sending pages 1, 2, 3, 4?
It's going to depend on what you want to do.
Okay, but
first of all,
why do we have all of this information about planned urban development?
You have that because I've tried to look at a couple of different ways.
We understand that.
But
are we voting on that to go forward? Not necessarily.
You were asked to consider duplexes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm of the same opinion that Bob is, that this is probably going to be viewed as a building code and not allowed to go forward. So in my thinking, what I thought was we might try something like a planned unit development and be allowed to, since we would take that outside of the code book and approve it as a project, let them address these issues themselves as we do with the height ordinance. And alleviate certain concerns if you're going to build this type of structure in that planned unit development, and then we could approve it based on what they presented to us and it's self-imposed. Is that legal or not? I don't know. But that's similar to what we did with the height ordinance. So I've given you three options here.
And the third option is?
There's a third option that you just pass the duplexes and say they may or may not build a firewall. Hopefully they're responsible and they'll do it properly. And if we do that and the fire department finds out that it's a problem, maybe they'll start inspecting these as well. But, I mean, obviously there's the danger that you'll get the substandard firewall that's not really a firewall. The fire department doesn't inspect it and you have fire traps. But you can't do anything about building code. So you could allow that to go forward, or you could say, no, I mean, because that can happen, this isn't something that we'll allow to happen. So we won't allow duplexes. I think you're in those two positions is where you're at.
Okay, but let me naively ask another question, and that is, if it has in fact been 5 years since that infamous vote was taken, is it perhaps time to revisit the whole issue of building codes?
The issue of building codes would be something that the county commission would have to put on the ballot.
Yes, indeed.
And it was a 70-30 vote in an unincorporated area of the county. And that was a recent change. I think it was passed about 2000 to take effect in, I think, August of 2001. The commission actually had, at that time, maybe an eight-month window to pass them without having to go to the people, and they didn't want to do that. So now it has to go to the people, and does the county commission want to put it on the ballot to have the people vote again when it was 70 to 30 5 years ago? That's up to them. Does it need to be revisited?
Well,
maybe.
And that's the point. It is up to them, but we do our responsible job.
Yes, you do.
Bob, would that have to proceed, like many other things, a petition to have that put on the ballot?
Somebody might petition to put or come in before the county commission and ask that it be put on the ballot, and then the county commission would have to choose to do that or choose not to do that. And I would imagine that it's an extremely political issue.
Yes, and for our purposes
perhaps
tonight, that's not going to help us. Okay. You know, that's again why I said, if you've got to have a firewall, if that's going to be conditional for you, and you don't think this is going to stand, you're done. You know.
Okay. Is anybody willing to make a motion one way or another to vote it up or vote it down or sideways?
If you're going to move forward with it, though, we've got to define some other things still. We need lot size. We need your recommendation.
I hate to do this, but I actually want to try to move forward with it. I know you may. I mean, I may be the only one, but there's a lot of people that are asking for this, mm-hmm. and we need to try to get it figured out
sure.
the best we can, and with maybe a little more advice from Bob on what we actually can do and let it move forward. I think we need to try to get it moved forward.
I'd like to move forward with it, but I'd like to have the firewall. Let somebody else take it out.
Commissioner Pennell.
Question, I guess, for Mr. Paulson is, when we talk about the firewall and the lines and all those things, does the Planning and Zoning Commission have to have all that spelled out to pass it to the County Commission? In other words, can the P&Z Commission say, we're in favor of the county commission moving forward on this. We would like to see firewalls or whatever you've got, but here's the ball. Can they do that?
They normally make a specific recommendation to you of how they want the code book changed.
Right. Bob's nodding his head yes to the fact that it would not have to be specific. Is that right or not?
I think you're in some gray area, Chuck, which is unusual, as you know, when it comes to the law. But I think if there was a recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Board that something, you know, almost identical, somewhat similar, with maybe some sort of addition could be passed by the County Commission based upon the recommendation made by the Planning and Zoning Board. But I would say that it would have to be, you know, somewhat close and in the same ballpark. I'm not saying you have to pass it exactly as they've recommended it, but mm-hmm. I mean, it needs to be something that they've recommended or that they've deliberated on, because otherwise the people that were here for the public hearing, although there were none.
Could you put in there that we want that with some kind of fire protection?
We can walk down this page right now real quick, guys. And you can put what you want to in there and look at both.
Protection between the two, instead of having a one-hour ready fire.
Does it make any difference if you change the word required to suggested? I know it doesn't mean anything, but just does it make any difference?
If you're not going to require it and you're just suggesting it, I don't understand the point.
It's the same point as not giving the rating, but...
Well, we've got two new commissioners coming on.
We've got one new one coming on.
But we've got one that wasn't on whenever that was presented before.
Yes, there'll be two out of the three commissioners in January will not be commissioners.
We dealt with this a little bit in March of this year. If y'all remember, we dealt with this in March of this year, and we got hung up on the same issue. But I mean, we can present it however you want to try. If you want to try it, that's fine.
I mean, although I was among that 30% myself, the agenda here is not to try to sneak in building
right,
codes
right.
that got people watching. That has nothing to do
right.
with it at all. It's a matter of just trying to protect the people who are actually going to live in those duplexes,
exactly.
not the ones that own them.
Mm-hmm. I understand. And I suppose if you put it in there, somebody would come and say, I don't have to put it in there. It's a building code. It's not enforceable. And perhaps they could force the issue, but they'd be totally irresponsible in not putting in a firewall. and right. why anybody would do that.
I just
that.
Feel like I've done my due diligence if I was at least suggested to them.
But I would just say well, that you don't have the authority to do building.
Let's walk down this page real quick and see if we can come up with something.
I don't have the authority to suggest it.
Okay.
You can suggest anything you want to suggest.
Right.
So,
right.
okay. So, if can we want to walk down this page real quick and see okay. what we can do? I'm on the second. I don't know if I've got the same one, but mine has the at the very top. It says definition. It says attached house, duplex, dwelling unit, and the definition on the duplex says two-family residential use in which the dwelling units share a common wall. If we're all on the same page, including the wall of an attached garage or porch, in which each dwelling unit has living space on the ground floor with a separate ground floor entrance.
I'd like to change that a little bit.
That's what we're doing.
I think you're close, but is there anything in a horizontal wall, or I mean a vertical wall?
How can you split a vertical wall?
No, a two-fam, I mean, the common wall, because...
Your walls are vertical to start with, I guess what I'm saying.
Well, what if, I mean, I know, but...
If I do it like this...
Each dwelling unit has a living space on the ground floor and a separate ground floor entrance. Are you determining the ground floor is one elevation only?
No.
Because otherwise you could have a basement and a single floor.
But we're not going to share.
I know. That's okay. why I said
okay.
vertical.
But you know, in Taney County, I could come in on this side.
I know this is a floor, yeah. but...
And I can own everything up here, and then I can come in down here and own everything up here. And I can split that.
Actually... City of Branson has proven you can kind of split that sort of thing with their air rights.
I know.
Okay.
I know. But what we're saying is, when we're saying they're going to share a common wall, we're not going to misconstrue it for a ceiling or a floor.
I know. I don't want to.
Okay.
That's not what I'm saying that I would like to do, is split it that way. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure it's clear that it's split this way.
Right. Exactly. And we may have to put a definition there for wall.
Okay.
But
so then I'm fine if you're going to put a definition in there. For
and I can do that.
Okay.
But we know we can just put in there excludes ceilings, floors.
A definition for a wall would be good, I think.
Would you be okay with my definition of wall?
Yeah.
Okay. So that I can finish this and take it to the commission on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's just a matter of not doing it this way.
So I'll add a definition of wall. Okay. And I will call.
Okay,
I will call you.
Let's go on.
So we've defined dwelling units as a building or a portion of a building designed for use for residential occupancy by a single household, and this includes exclusive sleeping, cooking, and sanitation facilities. And then we get into requirements. Minimum lot size for a duplex when a public central sewer system is available shall be, I've got down there 12,000 square feet. On one, I've said 16,000 square feet. That's double the lot size. In my opinion, duplex lots... shouldn't necessarily have to be double what it takes to build a single-family home.
As long as it's on central sewer.
Right, and we just need to come to some kind of an agreement there. 10,000 feet may be enough. I mean, they're still going to have to meet setbacks, side, front, and rear. But
you run into problems, though.
You run into a problem if something burns down. Now you've got two substandard lots, and you have to say every lot created like this is going to have to...
If I have a duplex that burns down, and it burns down my neighbors, and we don't like each other, or we realize that we could do better if we just, and I just decided I want to sell my lot, so I sell my lot to somebody and they come in and they're like, what do you mean I can't build on
exactly,
this lot?
Exactly right.
And what protects them? They can't even build on the lot that they bought from this other person.
Exactly right. Unless they build a duplex with the other person. So I mean, we do create substandard lots because we are giving these people the opportunity to split a lot. So if you want to stay with that line of logic, then you say lot size has to be 16,000 square feet, 70 foot of frontage.
I talked about this last week, but I'd like that wording to be changed, whatever we decide on, to the minimum standards for instead of putting numbers in there.
Y'all okay with that? And you would say minimum standards for single family residential structure?
That's what I think. I agree with Bob. I mean, I do believe that you could, most of the time, you could get them on less than that, like 1.5 times, but
right.
we do create substandard lots if there are issues, and that's just a whole other can of worms. So,
and we did discuss that, and I'm sorry I didn't type that up, but you did discuss taking out the specific numbers in case there were changes.
I think that should be something we do in a lot of places, because otherwise we're going to have to go back and change all of these if we ever change our
minimum lot size is, rather than saying 8,000 square feet,
right.
which is currently our minimum size.
Twice
if
the
it
minimum.
Changes to 10 or changes down to 6, it should be
It should just say...
It should take care of it.
The minimum.
So you're saying minimum lot size
for a
single family? Is that what you're
saying? I'm saying that each unit should have twice the minimum, because that's what it would be if it's 8,000.
Each building should have twice, so each unit has the minimum.
Each building.
Okay. So basically, minimum lot size for duplex and public central sewer systems available shall be, shall meet the minimum, current minimum lot size standard, or standard lot size.
Twice.
Okay. For each side.
However you want to write it.
Basically saying 8,000 for each side.
Twice. However you want, whether you want to write it for each side or put twice, it doesn't.
Each side would be the minimum lot size for a single family dwelling.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, well, so we'll reword that to where we understand that each unit has.
Is a septic system issue?
I've discussed this with the sewer district, and they just don't see, unless we hold it in common, which defeats the purpose, they don't want us to drop below 2 acres per side.
You're not going to be doing it unless there's central
sewer. Back to substandard again.
Okay.
Exactly. Again, it would say the same thing.
You're going to have the same thing with the 70 feet
right.
Direct tax. You need to change that one, too.
Yes. Yeah, okay. We'll change those to read, the same. So so now we're down to the elephant in the room. How would you like to state that? Do you want to leave that like it is? Do you want to how do you want to go?
On the firewall?
I'd like to leave it like it is.
I would say leave it like it is and let the commissioners sort that out.
Okay.
I say put suggested instead of required.
But then why put it in at all?
Why send it as required? It's not going to go anywhere.
Well, but then we've done ours and somebody else can change it.
We've
done our part.
Here's what I'm going to tell you, gentlemen. When we get this up, and I'm going to contact y'all pretty quick, probably tomorrow sometime, with this so you can see the updated, so you can say, yeah, that's what I was thinking. We go to the commission. If they change this, it comes back to you. And then y'all approve what they've changed and it goes back to them. Which is okay. I'm just telling you the process.
Okay.
So,
and the statement.
Y'all need to decide what y'all want to do here. It's okay. like it is. You won't suggest it. I understand
it's okay.
That.
Okay. I sound like I'm overruled. So.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So, no interior side setback is required on the attached side of the lot. Contain a duplex, the street side and rear setback standards shall apply. Okay? And then each dwelling unit shall have direct access to the existing road. In other words, you don't have to cross over the other one to get there or however they're going to
do it. Do I need a motion?
If you want to go there. If you don't want to go there, that's
a motion to send this forward.
Do you have any other comments on that?
Or other comments?
Anything you want to add or anything like that?
Anything you want to add?
No, okay. Other than the fact that I think right is right, and we shouldn't let the politics, even though it's a reality, but I hate making rules or regulations based upon political things rather than the need.
Well, I'm ready to run it.
I mean... Even if somebody makes a motion to deny it or appeal it, you still have the right of whatever vote you want to do. So
I'll make a motion to submit it as we've outlined it.
As revised.
And I'll second it.
Discussion? Sorry.
I think we've had lots of discussion for years on this. Okay, all those in favor of the motion as it was made to send this proposal on duplexes forward. Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay.
I'll have that rewritten and you'll have a copy of it tomorrow. Hopefully I can get that approved and we'll get it before the commission on Wednesday.
Okay, and what is the other?
The other one is subdivision of land. It's in the, I don't have that packet with me, but on mine it's in the very back. This is something that we looked at quite a bit, and hopefully you've got the same page I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. It starts out in the back here. It says Section 5, Division of Land. It goes into 5.1, Minor Subdivisions. and then the 5.1.1 through 5.1.3 in italics there. Is that what you have? That would be the changes that we would be making. Basically what it does is it takes out the large parcels of land that are over 40 acres from having to be included as part of the minor subdivision. I did talk with Diane May with SMACOG. As we're all aware, there are limits on the upper side of what can be done. On the lower side, there are no limits. She said that's something that, as a board, you just set your recommendation. If you're doing two lots, it's got to be a minor. Two lots to seven, it's got to be a minor sub. Three lots to seven, it's got to be a minor sub or something like that. But, you know, if you wanted to allow one lot to be split off without doing anything like that, just a survey, we'd stamp it and let it go, as long as it meets the standards or whatever. But you know, if it hits two lots or more, that's a decision that you guys would have to make. I did not put the minimum in there as far as if you want to set a minimum. I don't know.
I'm just a little lost. Okay. Set a minimum lot size or a minimum amount of lots?
Minimum amount of lots.
Okay.
Because we have some people that want to split off one parcel for one child. And right now, to do one split, they're having to do a minor sub if they want us to sign it in the office. Otherwise, really, those kind of surveys should come before you guys or whatever. But we see a lot of one-lot subdivisions, and if they want to come and have any input, Mr. Wolf may be a great one for you. But it doesn't appear there's any kind of a minimum, and that's just a line that's drawn by the county. If we want to say somewhere between 2 and 6, 3 and 6, you know.
Minimum amount of times they can split it off?
No. Lots in the split. Now, what this would allow, there is an issue because you split off 6 today, and you've got the parent parcel, and you come back and split off again. Now, in the code books that I'm working on now, it sets a minimum. It says if the parent parcel has been split within the last 5 years, can't have another one. Not another minor sub. It's got to come before the board. But that's all arbitrary. Whatever you guys would set, you may say, you know, once in a year, once every 2 years, once every 3 years.
Is that in these changes somewhere?
No, sir, it's not. I'm just telling you what can be added. Right now, what happens is we include the whole parcel, and the reason it was written that way was the split is done on it. The whole thing is looked at as a minor sub. And whenever somebody wants to split it again, it automatically comes up and says, this has been done once. Now it's got to come before the board. And that's how they protected that. We can do the same thing by monitoring the splits on it when they come up to be split. And you can put a time limit on it. But if we're going to exclude the parent parcel out, somewhere down the line that parent parcel is going to be split again. Whatever's in the minor sub, if it gets split, it's going to have to come before you because that's increasing density.
Well, I guess, Eddie, I don't understand your concern here because your document says that a minor subdivision that can be handled administratively contains no more than 6 lots.
That's correct.
Okay. So you're talking about once somebody has a minor subdivision approved and they want to subdivide further.
In the minor sub, they would have to come back before you. If we allow,
okay,
so right now we don't.
Finish my question. Outside of the minor sub, and they want to create another subdivision of lots, that you don't want to handle that second subdivision administratively. You want it to come to us.
I don't care. Really. I care, but here, the question
that's
is...
That's what you're saying, though. You shouldn't be able to do more than a 6-lot subdivision without coming in for a full-blown...
Yeah,
because somebody might...
That's the way we're set up now, but we make them include the parent parcel in them. Okay? We're wanting to be able to exclude the parent...
Well, but isn't that the way it works? Isn't that the way it should work?
When you go past the 6th track, DNR steps in.
Right.
Then you're caught up to DNR, and that's what anything basically that's 2 tracks or more should be reported as a subdivision.
Right. So that's why I'm thinking.
Like one of your adjoining counties, what they do is the time that parent track was bought, that was over 40 acres, you're allowed one split or multiple splits, you know, up to the 6th point at one time. But then if you split any farther, you come back to Division 3. Plain and simple.
And that's the way we work it right now, but we make them include the parent parcel in there. So what happens is, if we've talked about having the parent parcel as long as it's above 40 acres just mentioned. So when somebody comes back to split the parent parcel at a later time,
they have to come back.
The only purpose for this is to keep somebody with a lot of acreage from having to survey the entire
right.
parent parcel.
Right.
Which I think it's a, I'm going to say something not so politically correct right now. I think it's a lot of trouble to go to save the surveying cost of the parent parcel to go through all this with our code, but there are people that want this done.
Come on up, Ed.
Mr. Okay. Wolf.
He deals with this all the time. He and I do. So.
I'm not trying to drum up business, but let's say you've got 80 acres out there, and they want to create two tracks, a corner in it somewhere. Usually, in most of the county, you physically have to establish probably the 80-acre boundary to be able to take it out by statutes. Because if those corners don't exist on the interior, you have to go to the exterior of the mile square, and it's strict by statutes that you have to have, you know, like if you're trying to set the center of the section, that you have to have all four opposing quarter corners. That's by statute. Okay. Then if you do that, then you've got an 80, say it's east half, southeast quarter. Then you've already on paper got it for that whole boundary set up, but you don't have to stake it in the field. Now, by statute, if we plat it, then we have to stake it. It's only what we stake is what we're governed by the state board on what we have to set in the field. So in reality, you're usually establishing the whole boundary, but you don't have to stake or plat other than what you're talking about.
As you remember,
as a minor sub,
last
so
week
how does that differ from our status quo operation?
Right now, we make them include the parent parcel as mm-hmm. one of the lots.
You have to stake the large lot.
Yeah.
And if it's 1,000 acres or, you know, 5,000 acres or 20, you know, whatever. What we're trying to do is say if it's above 40 acres, just make mention of it. Don't stake it. The problem comes in now because it's not included as a subdivision. When you come back to split that next time, we're going to probably need a statement if you don't want that to happen, that we're going to have to trace the history of that tract, and that any further division of the parent parcel is going to require approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
You know, like, I don't know if they brought the plan over today, but I've done one today for Mar. They've got 100 acres down there. They're wanting to give the boy 2 acres plus of that parcel. So we have to create a subdivision plat in the current code. If you had a one-time split allowed for one track, you need some bounds, because what's happening, our index over there at the county is just ballooning. I mean, I create 8 or 10 of these a month, and we're slow. So, I mean, that's what we're running into. And we may have to start calling them A1s, A2s. I don't know, because it's hard to come up with names. If you look in the subdivision registry of the recorder, I mean, there is hundreds and hundreds of subdivisions. And that's what this one lot deal is creating, is we have to plat it as a lot. It's going to be a subdivision. It just can't be a minor sub. It's a minor sub, but it's going to be called something. If you had it as meets and bounds, they could classify it by quarter section index. It's still there. But if you go to 2, then it needs to be platted. Because there's so much of this where the people are trying to give one kid a track or a brother or sister or something.
So,
and by state statutes, you're allowed to do that.
Okay. So the question is, this document under division of land and all of the sub-points, your 5.1.1, et cetera, mm-hmm. does this wording accomplish what you want it to accomplish?
It will, with this exception, I think, ma'am. I think we're going to need to add a sentence in there that says additional division of the parent parcel will require permission of approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Put it in there.
Okay, that's Now, in our discussions tonight, that's the deal.
Okay.
Because as we spoke with Mr. Rudy, you remember him, we talked about this, and he said, you leave the parent parcel out there, and we're going to split it.
Do we have a motion to...
You're going to change, you got a couple of typos in there, but you'll change those, Jason.
Yeah, I will do my best.
Okay.
Is there a motion to send the issue of subdivisions, minor subdivisions, splits of parcels of land forward to the commission? With the addition?
With the revision.
I'll make a motion to send it forward with the revision.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor? Is there further discussion? Everybody understand precisely what we're voting on?
You have questions, Ms. Martin?
No, I don't. Oh. I'm good.
Okay.
Next time I want a visual drawing.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's not just... verbiage.
We need a PowerPoint presentation.
Yes, exactly.
On this. Okay. All those in favor of approving the moving along of this amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Let's move on then to the next part of our meeting. Permit renewal request. Do we have anything there?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
But we've skipped over concepts.
Do we have concepts? I'm sorry, I got my agendas confused. Okay, Sunflower Estates.
This is Mr. Stan Hagman. As you know, many years ago, Mr. Hagman came through and presented a parcel of a little over 50 acres to the Planning Commission Board for a mobile home, 100-unit mobile home park. This is out past, I've gone on 160 past Kazee Park. This would be the bridge coming over here, and then on out, and he's out here. If you remember, I don't know if any of you are around or not. I read the reports on this, and there was it made the write ups in the Springfield newspapers, and I think the news was out here and all kind of stuff like that. Because at that particular time, there wasn't any kind of treatment plant or anything out here. Blow that up just a little bit, Dan, if you don't mind. These are existing streets for the mobile home park. You'll notice this was all platted as one big 50-acre tract here, and it is these are not actually platted roads or anything. These are just the streets in that mobile home park out that Mr. Hagman had to set up. Mr. Hagman's had the opportunity he came through several years ago and got approval to subdivide this land here and create a couple lots down here and everything like that. There's a couple of holdups and some different things like that, but in the meantime, we've got all that worked out and everything, but he has a buyer for this upper part here, and what he wanted to do was to be able to split this part off and then move all of the mobile home up into this. It's a little over 30 acres here. What that actually did was there was about 16 lots down in here total that were mobile home lots, and then the rest of it, up here, another 86 of them were up in there, so... I've calculated what it would take to put a mobile home park with 100 units with the correct spacing and everything like that. It takes about 13 or 14 acres, so there's plenty of room up here in this 30-acre tract to do that. The sewer system is in, large enough to accommodate the 100 mobile homes plus the additional lots and homes that would go in down here. I think there's a total of another five lots down here, counting Mr. Hagman's, which was already there.
Everything's fine, except he's changing the
He just changed the plan a little bit, and he can meet all the requirements. It's not an issue, but I because he committed the 50 acres to you originally, I can let him split it, but I couldn't let him have all 100 lots up here. So he's bringing this before you to get approval for a 100-lot mobile home park up in this area here.
On 30 acres instead of 50.
On 30 instead of 50.
30's plenty, but he had committed to 50, so he has to come to you to get the approval for 30.
So that's why Mr. Hagman is here. He's is able to make this particular meeting. The next two meetings he's not going to be able to make and everything, but he is here if you'd like to ask him any questions or anything like that. But this is, like I say, we've gone through this pretty hard. Don't expect the outpouring of media like it was last time or anything like that. To me, it should be, should be.
Is there any way, Eddie, that that this can be handled in your office? Does it need to go through the public hearing process again?
It was a mobile home park. You know, this gets one into one of those deals, again, as far as I'm concerned, that this is a one of those deals where this was approved for a mobile home park, and as long as it fits, I would say, yes, we could probably handle that administratively. But you know what's happened.
The problem is the change in density.
Right.
The original decision of record said that the, I believe, and Danny, correct me if I'm wrong, said that the mobile home park was situated on 50 acres.
Yes.
And what was the going through the board's mind? Was this topography? Was there something about this that would require 50 acres? It doesn't seem so. It seems like it should be just fine on 30 acres, and that's pretty much everything you're going to hear. But he can't do it administratively under our code. It has to come before you is what the problem is. Not that it's a real difficult situation. The mobile home park is already there. Who's going to come in and complain? The mobile home park is pretty much on the 30 acres. But
basically, there's
going to
be no visual difference at all.
My question is, has he had any discussion with the neighbors out there? Is their feeling any different than it was before? This was a very hot issue, and this room was full of people opposing it.
Right, and as far as these neighbors out here, I can't speak to. The people that live in here, they're all aware of what's going on, and they're okay. I mean, there's a couple issues that we're working on right now with the plat, but other than that...
I guess I'd like to ask him.
Yes, well, let's go ahead and get him up.
Do you know of any change?
Come on up, Mr.
Abney.
Those that are opposed to the mobile home park aren't going to get the mobile home park, though, to move away because it's there and it's going to stay there. It's just whether he gets to divide it onto the 30 acres that it's already on and have...
We would be increasing that 30 acres by 14, 15 units, 16 units.
So you're telling me that the opposition we had before is not going to be opposed to this change.
No, I'm not going to tell you that they're not going to be less than logical and come in and oppose it anyway. I mean, I can't read minds, but they're not going to get rid of the mobile home park. The mobile home park that's there is going to be there afterward.
I understand that.
Okay.
I don't expect to be moved. I don't want to know what we're in for.
This thing makes sense. If we were in a different situation, I would say yes. I would have, because I've already calculated, and I told Mr. Hagman, if it was in my powers, I don't have a problem with it. But I just didn't feel like it was in my powers to do that.
I know what we went through when it came up before, and I'm just trying to find out if we...
Well, there was a lot of issues then, too. You know, the sewer and the well and all that's in. It's all DNR approved, and it's all been operating. And it's just like Bob says, if we didn't do anything, he could still put like 84 units out there. And there's still going to be a mobile home park. We haven't got rid of that.
It's been operating for 15 years, going on 16.
So, but you and I both know, as soon as you say, we're going to look at this, somebody's going to be here.
Okay, next question. You said he couldn't be here for the next two meetings?
He will have a representative here.
Okay.
But he will be out of the country.
Without a representative.
No, he will have a representative. But I wanted y'all to be aware of that. So if you had any specific questions that you would like to ask him tonight.
Would you position where this is? Give me a bigger view.
Okay, come on back out, Dan.
How do I get to Sunflower Estates?
If you leave here and you stay on 160, uh-huh. You go across, you know where Kissimmee Park is? Kissimmee Mills Park. You know where the bridge goes across? Here.
Go 2 miles past that bridge, uh-huh. And the Johnson Schoolhouse is on the right. The Cross Timbers Road tees in to 160 right there.
Yeah.
You turn up that road and you go about a third of a mile or less, and you turn to the right and go right into the park. There's a sign there, Sunflower Estates Mobile Home Park. Situated on a nice hill there, got a nice panoramic view of the whole country.
It's pretty rural out there.
Yeah.
Because I drove by, I've been there a couple times, and I drove by it last time. I thought, I'm going too far and everything. But you know, across the bridge at 160, like he says, and then right through there.
It used to be Merrick Road years ago.
Yeah, Herb Merrick.
Yeah.
But, you know, this was something that, like I say, just out of my jurisdiction to handle.
Yeah, in reality, nothing is really changing. Just the park is is still on that 30 acres, or it was...
Is ownership changing, though, because we talked about real estate?
He has the potential
here.
To sell that, yes, ma'am.
Possibility.
And he will still out, he'll own several lots out there, and there is one other owner that's going to be out there. So so there will be a little bit of change, okay. But...
Okay. I guess you get to go through the process.
Okay. Once again.
Once again. Okay, let's move on then to Bee Creek Storage. And Representative Mr. Eddie Wolf.
That'll be you. You want me to tell him?
You gotta make any difference.
You know where the Bee Creek apartments are.
Uh-huh.
That just got finished. Let's run up to that real quick, Dan.
Yes,
the Bee Creek apartments are finished. You remember this was the property that was bought by Mr. MPI.
Redford.
Mr. Redford. And then they built the these apartments were going to be built in here a lot largely for the, as it presented to us, for the employees that are going to be working at the Highway 65 project. You remember that being mentioned every day?
Yeah.
This is where Brett Butler has his, we split that minor sub off for Mr. Snaden. Brett Butler put his architect office in there and everything like that. So those apartments are in here, in this area here. And they are up and running now. There's a road, and we're going to show you the plan in just a minute like that. But this is part of that property there, and this is where the mini storage wants to go in. So flip on, Dan. Of course, off of Bee Creek Road, you're aware of that and everything. This is the property that they're looking at using there. And you have the plat, Dan? And then this would be the actual unit that's going to go in there. And... you know, it's a mini storage, and I'll let Eddie, I'll give you this, because I know you want to talk to me about the fencing, the field, things like that. But,
it's fine right there. One thing I want to make clear.
A lot of units.
Yeah, there's 384, I believe, in there.
I believe that is correct, sir.
Yeah. There's a lot of these, Sarah, that that are like 5 by 10, you know, real small units in there. That's what's kind of on the ends here. These are 10-foot units up here, 10 by 10s. They're just all different sizes in there. The one thing I want to make clear right up front is that this is all platted. This, even that road, and this is all just one lot. Now, since this plat was done where we created for Brent Butler this Snaden subdivision here, this is all lot one and that's lot two. Mm-hmm. Since then, that was done. Bee Creek Apartments has come in. They created a 50-foot road easement all the way across here. This is their signed parcel lay on there to their apartments. So basically what happened when that road went in there, we created a lot here. We created a lot there with this, and we're asking to make 3 lots out of this. Now, they've all got sewer and water. Branch of sewers, Water District number 3 is there. So they would all meet code, because it just makes sense, since we're going to go in and replat this lot one to fix it to where we don't have to come back again for them to sell it off. They can sell this lot up here. They can sell the remainder of this. And so that's what we're asking for, to do those 3 and everything there. That we'll plat this road here as a public road is what we'll do when we plat it, so we can clean it up. So there's no issue. It's not going to be a county-maintained road. Bee Creek Apartments still have their easement. I think they've got an agreement there that they got to take care of the road, because those are all completely built now, and people live in them out there. But that's what it boils down to, is that. Now, on this, the only entrance into this will be right here off Bee Creek Road, right there. And there'll be a gate there that will be electronic, where you go up, put your code in, like a normal one, and it will open it, you know, if you're going in and out. It will be fenced from right here at the corner of this building, all the way up, along here, back down, here to the gate. The gate will be there. Then it will be fenced from here down to there, and that will close it off there. Then they'll come down here and put a fence right there, so the impoundment will be completely enclosed by fence. We're boarding. This is commercial here because of Brent's. Shouldn't require a buffer. This up here is already zoned commercial through the approval that was originally. and we're not touching any residential in here. This is undeveloped commercial in there the way it was approved originally. And then we're going to put a detention area in here to control the stormwater. Don't know how big it'll be. It may take some units, may not take some units. You know, we just draw them in there. And all of this area in here totally will be paved.
So that will all be impervious cover.
Yeah, it'll all be
so that pond is going to be...
You'll either have to, you'll have to build a basin, I'm pretty sure. I don't think the parking lot, the way it, you can hold detention in a parking lot, but I don't think there's enough there to satisfy it. And you'll either have to do underground storage, where you bury pipes, collect it, hold it, or build a basin there that's sufficient to handle it.
That's why there's no, is that why there's no entrance off of?
No, he didn't want an entrance off of this. He said for security reasons and everything that he doesn't want an entrance off of here. He wants it directly off the public road, and you don't want more than one entrance into it, is what Steve told me.
How far, I understand that for security reasons, but for safety reasons, it concerns me about people who drive a truck once in their lifetime pulling out a U-Haul on and off of Bee Creek Road.
Well, the site distance there is exceptionally good there in that area.
What's that?
The site distance.
I drive it several times a day. I'm well aware of where it's at.
Yeah.
But the length of this gate area, is that what you're asking?
I'm concerned about...
So when you pull off of Bee Creek into the gate?
U-Haul pulling a trailer,
yeah,
a car trailer, pulling in and out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Boys and Girls Club right there across the road from it. And I know as well as anybody in this room how much traffic goes up and down that.
Yeah, there's a, you know, I've driven up there, go in and out. You know, I've been in and out of the apartments up there at that project. You know, there is traffic on the road. You know, you pull out there, you know, you got a whale in traffic. And there's not, there. You know, these storage units, most people that rent them are lucky if they're there once a month or once every 6 months.
But there's still plenty of inexperienced traffic going in and out of that gate every day. And I'm just, my one question is, how much room is there? Just point at the entrance.
Between the gate.
We can set the gate back 25 feet if we want to.
To make sure the truck is, before they wait to get in the gate, because I assume if it's like on the rest of Steve's.
The gate won't close until you get through it.
Right, but you got to stop to get in it. You got to stop, put in your code, because if it's like the rest of them he's got, then it'll open, and then you got to move on through it.
The road out there, I think, is 24 foot, I believe is what the pavement width is. And there's 50 foot of right-of-way. So you've got about 12, 13 feet. And then if you had it set in another 25 foot back, that would give you 38, 39 feet.
I'm most concerned, me, about making sure that truck and whatever they might be pulling behind is off the road. That's the thing.
Why are you waiting to open the gate?
Yeah. I don't think there would be a problem in here. I talked to Steve, you know, if we need to scoot this gate back 10 foot.
I mean, if he's out, it'd be better on the other road, but that's, you know.
Well... The deal is with Bee Creek there and the maintenance deal with them, you know, if you start putting traffic over there, then you start getting into other issues.
Well, but that's his concern. Yeah. My concern is getting that truck off the road when people are going by.
But, I mean, if this gate was put back to where there was 45, 50 foot.
As long as they can get off the road, that's because they got to turn either way. Even if they got to turn up in the road easement, they still have to turn. So a turn's a turn as long as
traffic's a traffic. No matter.
Exactly. You know, as long as it's off the road.
I don't think he would have a problem with that. You know, basically what you're talking about is maybe building 20 more foot of fence. You know,
that's a question.
You know, we might lose a unit right here. You know,
that's
we got 384.
You know.
So who's the owner of this?
Tri-Sons.
And who is
Steve
that?
Green.
Steve Creedon.
Steve Green?
Creedon.
A lot of storage units around the area.
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
Okay. And the distance between the storage units is enough to have two cars...
Yeah, there's a
I believe most of those are divided into 20 feet, if I'm not
20 saying. To 30 foot, depending on what the units are. This one here is
30.
Yeah. These are 20s here. And see, the way this is, they can go out here. This is not that there. Did you put that in there, Dan?
What's that?
That little line right there?
No.
Anyhow, they can go all the way around.
Okay, that was one of my questions.
It's continuous.
Okay.
Fire issues would be a real...
No, I got it.
No, that's continuous loop. So.
Okay, it's continuous. Okay.
But anyhow, they can drive all the way around.
Okay.
That's what it's designed to do.
Okay.
Another question, Eddie. That northwest parcel. I know it's not part of this parcel, but I ask, I'm sure. Is that still a residence?
What, here?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's still a residence there, and they've got an easement right through there.
Where is Gary Sneeden's house?
I don't... It's south.
Gary Sneeden's house is right down here.
Okay. There. Well, the driveway that they have, I don't know if that's where the easement is, but with the driveway that they have is on the middle of that, on the middle of that north parcel.
It's not in the middle of it. It's up.
Well, it's, on,
right
it's not shown, I guess, on one of
right.
There.
There's also a sewer line that runs right down that road right there, too, that's by the county. So if they build it, they would have to build it here.
Right. Is there anything...
When it's platted, we'll actually show the existing driveway in the sewer.
You're going to do that, then?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't... That's, I just want to make sure that
if you look at the recorded plat, I think they're already on there.
Okay. I thought, because we the, when we made that parcel, right. I talked about
see,
that.
See, the approval when this is all done is office condos in there.
Yeah.
When that was run through, we had it in there, and I think the board requested that we give them an option right here that they could voluntarily make their driveway off of that road.
That's possible. I
and
don't remember.
The original drawings.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was still taken care of at that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no, this guy here... through the entry process, I mean, the Hare and Laughlin, they set up their offices.
I know, that's why I was wondering if
there. I mean, this guy's down there, I mean, just over with him. I mean, it was the best partnership you could ever believe in, that guy. They used his driveway here for well, almost 2 years to
yeah,
park it.
I know. I saw, that's why I was wondering if he was still resident.
He
had
any problem with nothing. I mean, he just had his lark like that somebody talked to him every day. I'm serious. I mean, that...
That's why I thought maybe it had sold because they were. They were parked there. You're right. Every day.
No, I stopped and talked to that man a couple times and said, are you okay with this? And, hey, I'm fine.
I just want to make sure he's still getting in and out of his house.
He was even out there parking cars for about a year. He'd go out there. Every car would come in. He'd make sure they could get in and out and park them here and there. And
yeah.
Drive
well, good. Give him something to
I
do.
Mean, you know, that's how sociable the guy was.
Legally, I just want to make sure he can get in and out of his house.
And they even had a desk for him in the office there that he went and sat yeah. there to desk. One thing that really helped the Bee Creek project, they had a very good superintendent out there, and he'd done a good job of communication with all the people prior to this thing starting, and it went real well. They were a good group to work with.
Good.
That makes a lot of difference.
Yeah.
File is closed out there.
Yep. And people living in it, and so far, haven't heard anything bad.
And how many units are in that?
There's 225, I believe.
274.
274?
They look nice. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm talking about the storage units. I'm sorry.
No,
374.
There's 384 storage units.
I think there's 14 buildings.
And there's some different sizes. Yeah. I think there's 200. It's either 215 or 225
yeah.
that's in there.
Okay.
They look good.
I may have come from, it was a different color when I changed all the colors.
And I know one thing, those guys have really been adamant about trying to get the thing built right, too. I mean, to close this thing out with HUD, everything's got to be just the way they say.
Okay, so we'll see you next year. Mr. Coxey, any other information for
I do. I told you last week that I would... under old and new business, I would bring you a comparison.
What? How did that get in my
books? I would bring you a comparison of the two projects that we talked about last week, the Extreme Sports Complex and the Highway 65 project. And I've given you a sheet in front of you, and because we had talked about many of these components are kind of the same as what they were set up, and we didn't know if some of this project would need to come back before you or what would have to happen. So down the left-hand side, what we approved in the Highway 65 project, if you'll read down through there. And then as I went through the Extreme Sports Complex project, these are the items that he had listed in there. And I just kind of put them across from where I thought they might fit in basically the same category, with the exception down at the bottom. In yellow, you'll see that one motocross and four-wheeler area. I didn't know what to do with that. That may be something that you need to hear. But you need to kind of compare those, see if you know the difference. Like at the very first, there was an indoor water park. He's talking about an indoor skiing snowmobile. You know, it's not water, but it's well, it is water, but it's frozen and everything. So you know, it's still an inside building, that kind of thing. We allow three commercial lots. you know, he's going to have a little car rental place out there that would fit. There was already a half-mile racetrack and basically the same thing that he's wanting to do with that. We allow two different theme parks. You know, he's got an action sports complex and a wakeboarding and wake skating, whatever that is, but out there. And then he has a resort planned, and you see there was three or four different things, or three different things there, and they come out to be about the same unit-wise and everything like that. So to me, if everything gets worked out, I don't see the need personally to, with the exception of this one motocross four-wheeler area, that I think a lot of this could plug in and do, but that's not my decision to make. So,
so what are you saying? That once this is commercial and we approved the land for these multi-uses?
I'm saying that a lot of this, in my opinion, is not significantly different, and that it would fit into these areas here. We do have one more down here that I think we probably should, before that happens, that we should hear it.
The grid and the rally track, is it going to be on the...
It would be in the exact location that we approved the other track, and I told them that was not negotiable.
Decibel level and follow that guideline.
Exactly. Yes,
sir. He's only going to build a half-mile track?
That's what we've approved. I got the impression he wasn't trying to build, you know, you heard about a mile and a quarter track, but that was for the NASCAR thing. That wasn't his plan. His plan wasn't for the track to be that big.
Okay.
So, but what we approved was a half-mile track in a certain location. There's still litigation on that and everything like that. But what I've tried to do here is just say, here's how I think it matches up. If you don't think it does, then we just...
Well, let's talk politics a little bit. So let's assume that we kind of agree that there's no significant change in what we have approved, which happens to be in the courts at this particular time.
That is correct.
Okay, so that's a little wrinkle that's an interesting, you know, sideline.
And we will not issue anything for anybody.
But let's assume that we go ahead and carte blanche approve this. And all of a sudden now, instead of weekly races, mm-hmm. we now have dirt and rally track. And I think those little cars are many times noisier than... And I'm a neighbor, and I'm really unhappy about this now.
I understand.
Okay. On the other hand, if we go through and hear this whole thing all over again, where are we? We're right back with the room filled with people, and none of which are going to be for this.
I think we've... Again, we've made the decision in this area. We were very specific about location and everything like that, and we were very specific about decibels at a certain amount of feet. I think we would be predisposed to approve him as long as he didn't exceed any of those issues. That would be my opinion.
Were there any limits on the, how many times a week they could hold an event like that?
Okay. No, sir. There was not, because he talked about concerts, he talked about all different kind of things. Is his use a little more intense? Probably so. And if that's...
I just wondered in the decision record.
No,
if
there was not. There was not. But in theory, I guess his use could be a little more intense with people practicing and stuff like that.
Again, it's not a right point at the present time. We don't have a concept before us, correct?
No. That's correct.
No, I'm just curious if there was a limit in the last decision, and if there's not, then that's also not really. That's also kind of.
Now we approved them. He said he thought they would race a certain, you know, they would have a season for that, but in that off season, that he would have other events like tractor pulls, he would have concerts, you know, just a lot of different kind of things. But we did not limit him to one event a week or anything like that.
And the status of the other racetrack south is, are they ready to come before the county?
Had I spoke with Mr. Cook before, I thought I had. We are in this exact same place. We've not heard anything else back from him. They were waiting on some final financing and everything like that, and then they were going to come back, and if that goes through, if not, it won't be happening. But we have not heard another word from him on that.
Okay, so maybe...
This is two different owners?
This is two different places.
Oh, two different places.
But it's two different
yeah.
owners.
Hey, yes, sir. It is two different owners.
Two different owners.
Yes, sir.
And until this gentleman gets his money, this is kind of a moot point, too, isn't it?
Yes. But he needs... He's pretty close to getting finalized. He has investors in this weekend.
That's what he says, right?
Well, that's what he said. He said he spent last weekend with them. They're coming in this weekend. And I'm just telling you what they said. You never know. But he needs to know whether or not, this property is okay to go on or not, or if he's going to have to get some different approval.
Sure.
Because that affects what he and his investors would do. They're currently doing title searches and things like that on the property. I did discuss with him, the need of the two streets, out to 160 and out to 465. He's aware of that, that the track would have to stay in the same place and everything like that. But
that was a requirement, right? Yes. The streets were, that was part of the decision record.
Which is, okay. is the whole problem with our current system of planning and zoning. If you want to do something, you don't know whether you can do it.
Yeah.
And he hasn't even officially requested of the board, may I do this?
But we're not sure. My position was, I'm not sure that he needed to request everything from you. Some of it probably. But a lot of this is the way it was set up originally. It was very nondescript in that we're going to have this big theme park area. Well, a lot of these will fit as a theme park mm-hmm. area. It may not, mm-hmm. Just a different kind of rides and stuff like that. So that's why the comparison is made, so you can make the decision.
So basically, you don't know what to tell him is what you're
saying. Yeah,
right. He's asking me, if I get my financing in place next week and there's no litigation, could I come in and apply for a permit to start building? Well, as I look at it, I would say this, and this, probably so. This, we need to look at. I asked him to be here tonight. He didn't want to discuss it publicly just yet because of some other things. But before he would start, I would love to get him before you so you can kind of see the whole big picture and everything. But there's a lot more to the story than just this. But this was a piece of property because he was tied in with the other group for a while, and due to some of the financing and stuff like that, he decided that wasn't the way to go.
But what if the court issue continues to just be out there in limbo?
I don't know. That's a possum question, but I would think if somebody wanted to push it, they could get it into court to get some kind of a decision pretty quick instead of just letting it lay. Nobody's really
pretty quick, but it could be pushed to decision more quickly.
And he would have to do that.
And if the court system says no, this is not going to be allowed, then he starts all over from stage one. He could come back in and ask for approval or something like that. But if they overturn your decision, then we know we don't have the right to do this.
And the other side has done absolutely nothing to go forward with their appeal. They've just let it sit there.
Well, it's tied the land up.
Because nobody's been eager to build at this particular point.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, thank you.
So you're needing something, though, from us?
Well, yeah. He'll call me tomorrow wanting to know, if we get everything worked out and buy the property and the litigation's all settled out, can I begin to build? What can I begin to build on this property that you've approved?
So you don't need a vote, but you need some thought, what our thoughts are.
I need to know, what how do you want to
proceed? Well, I think, just to get started so we can move on, that kind of what you're showing here is fine, mm-hmm. with exception to what you got highlighted.
Right.
I do think that that's enough difference. But the rest of it is, to me, is similar. That's what I think.
And I'm in agreement with what you presented, Eddie, except for the motocross and four-wheeler area. That would
and I would think you'd
look at a little
back
more
back
at that. But the other ones would work out fine.
Wow.
I don't have to like it.
I've got three head nods. And I know, I understand your position. Believe me, I understand your position because I live on Fruit Farm Road.
Which is right close to the New
Nashville. Like Nashville. I said, I don't have to like it if the decision was already made.
But I mean, I do understand. I think that NASCAR track's a great deal. But uh-huh. But I understand your,
it's a lifestyle changing kind
it
of
is.
Thing.
It is.
Do we have anything else?
I don't.
Well, I bet we do.
I bet you do.
I bet we do. So, Mr. Chuck Pennell, presiding Commissioner Chuck Pennell, will you please come forward? Because we need to say goodbye to you, and the fact that we have lived together, so to speak, on Monday nights for 8 years. That's pretty amazing.
Pretty well, too.
And you can now watch television on Monday nights. Monday night football.
Of course, all of our meetings are public meetings, so, you know.
So it's been an amazing kind of 8 years. Crazy. With lots of people and, you know, observations of planning and zoning. Do happy people ever come to public hearings? Not likely. I think that's... So we want to express our appreciation for your support, certainly, for this commission. And, as per usual, already framed...